Can I say a very good morning to you all? Just in case you don't yet know me, I'm Mark Slater, and I'm delighted to be leading the service this morning. And it's so good to see you all. Also, it's very good to see those of you who will be watching online, and I hope that whether you're here or watching the service online, that you feel that it's a good place to be, and that we can really enjoy being together with the Lord, and a sense that God is working amongst us this morning. There'll be more notices later. I just wanted to just sort of highlight, I'm sure you know that the crisis, the devastating crisis in southern Turkey and Syria is something that I guess is very much on our minds and needs to be so much part of our prayers. It is a terrible catastrophe, and the very least we can do is to just hold those people in our prayers and just long that the support that is so deeply needed will be just pouring into that area. Just a moment of stillness and some words of scripture. Our theme this morning is one of being people of prayer. From Colossians chapter 4. Devote yourselves to prayer. Be watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains, Paul says. And a reminder to us that as we devote ourselves to prayer, we may just know that God meets with us wherever we are. Just a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, wherever we have come from and whatever on our minds as we meet together here at St. Andrew's and online, Lord, by your Spirit, come among us. Meet with us so that we know that you, the loving God, are here to speak to our hearts, to bring your love and your healing, your strength and your inspiration to us. So we pray this in the name of our loving Lord Jesus. Amen. Stand for some opening songs of worship, and if adults or children, young people alike, you'd like to come and pick up some of the instruments, please come and grab some and make a very wonderful noise as part of our worship. Do come up and grab some instruments.
Lord, we come, we gather together.
Jesus, it's by your Spirit that not only do you fill the earth with your glory, but you come into our lives and you long to bring your glory to our hearts, wherever we are. Meet with us now and through all our time together today. As we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Do please be seated. Well, I thought that I would like to introduce you to this, my favourite plant. I've no idea what it's called. But it's rather nice, isn't it? Because it's got these green leaves and it's got these flowers as well. Anybody know what it is? One of those, is it? Well, I think it's beautiful. But I think it also says something. There's a message in here. It speaks of, well, I think it's just that it speaks of you and me this morning. And I'm wondering what it might say to you. We're looking at what it means to be a people of prayer. See, can you picture this as a plant that speaks to us of prayer? So who here has ever prayed? Hands up if you have prayed. That's quite a lot of you, almost everybody. And tell me, hands up if you are somebody who likes to pray as part of this church family. Still a lot of you. Wonderful. So I'm just wondering, would anybody like to tell me? We have a microphone here. And I'm just wondering, how do you pray? What do you say? What sort of things do you say that are prayers that you like to pray? Anybody like to tell me? Here we go, there's a hand.
Help.
Help. excellent, thank you. And I'm wondering about, you know, children and young people as well. What do you say when you pray? Hands up, somebody.
I always ask why. Why are things happening?
Why are these things happening? Well, that's quite an important question, isn't it? So we've got lots that we're thinking about at the moment. Somebody else. What other things do you pray about?
We pray that other people will be healed.
Prayer for healing is just so valuable, isn't it? When we can just come alongside those who need that help, that prayer. Thank you. Yeah.
Every morning before opening my eyes, I give thanks for the blessing of the day ahead and for the family that surrounds me.
That's really lovely. Thank you. And to be able to just give thanks for those around us and those we know and love, those sorts of prayers are really important. That's just great. So I'm just wondering, if this was a picture of prayer, what does this picture tell you about the way you pray? It's a very visible part, isn't it? So that's perhaps a sort of praying that we would do when we're with other people. Do you pray alone or with other people? Who would tell me? We've got somebody with hands up. Thank you.
Both, sometimes on my own and sometimes with my family or other people.
So being able to pray with other people is just really helpful, isn't it? And that's why we're beginning to think more about what it means to be people of prayer today. But there's part of this plant that is not visible. Which part is that? Do we imagine?
The roots.
Absolutely, the roots. And I think I've got a picture behind me, is that right? There we go, picture the roots of the plant. So what are the roots for? Yeah. Can we have the mic up here?
Who was that?
Growing and getting water and to help grow.
Thank you so much. That's really helpful because, of course, we need to be able to grow, don't we? And a lot of our growing, especially in prayer, is prayer that when we're on our own with God. And that sort of prayer isn't visible here, is it? The roots of this aren't visible. They're just on the picture behind me. Yes.
So, if God makes the water and plants need water.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So we can't pray without God's help, can we? And it's like water for the plant, that God speaks to us and helps us to be able to pray. So actually, the part of this plant that is hidden is perhaps the most important part of our praying. Indeed, it's the very root of how we can pray. So we'll be looking at more about prayer later on in the service, whether in your groups or here in church. And I thought you'd just like to just begin to think about what it means to be a praying people. Some of it we can see, but the most important part is hidden. And it's the roots of all we are as Christians, praying on our own with the Lord Jesus who loves us so much.
There are two readings this morning. The first reading is from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 13 to 14. Thanksgiving and prayer. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that springs from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of life. For he has rescued us from the domination of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 11 to 14. The Lord appears to Solomon. When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace, and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own place, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Morning, everybody. Lovely to see you. Can I add my welcome to you all, particularly to those who are visiting for the first time? And can I also particularly welcome the Reverend Peter Myers and Mrs. Emma Myers back. Don't bombard them all at the end, but it's so lovely to have you back with us, and I hope this is a blessing to you on your Sunday off. I just want to give some notices really linked with prayer. And the first one, and I'll say a bit more about this in my talk, but actually we are adding two new prayer meetings from now and at least till Easter, both on Zoom, because we've been very aware that not everybody can make the early morning prayer meeting, 9 o'clock prayer meetings at All Saints on a Wednesday and St Andrew's on a Friday. So two new ones on a Tuesday. You just have to remember it's 7:30 to 8:15. That's not right. It's Tuesday morning, 7:30 to 8:15, and it's Monday evening, 7:30 to 8:15. My slide and my sermon is right. We'll move on quickly. Coming up, starting when we do the next sermon series during Lent, we're going to do this new course, which is a brand new course called the Lectio course, which is written by Pete Gregg and folk at 24/7 Prayer. And we're going to be doing that in most life groups, but also if you're not in a life group or if you're new to the church particularly, then we're going to put two extra groups on. Helen Wilkinson particularly is going to lead a group on Wednesday morning, starting 29th of February here at St Andrews at 10 o'clock, I think. And is that right, Helen?
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm going to, and with somebody else who we don't know who it is yet, is going to lead a group on Tuesday evenings at 7:30 from the 7th of March. If you're not in a group and want to come for those 5 weeks and it might explore what life group's about and explore this course, then please do come along, or even better, let us know you are coming. And there's a book which goes with this course, which is this book from Pete Gregg called How to Hear God. It's a great book, I've been told. I haven't quite read it yet. I've ordered 20 copies, 14 of them are here, for people to buy. You don't need to have it to go with the course, but it's an extra there, and they're on sale on the welcome desk for £11, which I think is cheaper than you can get it on Amazon. Mike's going to come up and just say a little bit about this. Another opportunity to pray is the week of guided prayer, which happens next month, March 19th to 25th. And we've been mentioning this a few weeks now, but Mike's going to come and just share a little bit about it, because Mike, you did it last year, didn't you?
I did.
So could you just tell everybody, explain how the week of guided prayer works?
Can you hear me, first of all?
Just get a bit of stuff a bit closer.
Well, everyone has your own personal prayer guide. You meet with them the same day, every day of the week, at the same time. In my case, I met on Zoom in the morning. We talked a little, but it's mostly down to you to say why you're there and what you want. In my case, I wanted guidance in silent prayer. So we spent quite a lot of time on Zoom praying silently, which sounds a bit weird, but it was actually really good. When I signed up for it, I kind of hoped that I'd have some kind of zappy spiritual experience. But actually, I came away with a much deeper, much more long-lasting thing. And that was simply that I'm much more relaxed to be able to be still and silent in God's presence. So when I have my prayers, I say whatever I want to say to God, and then I make time for Him to speak, if he wants to. But the key thing is, it doesn't matter if He doesn't say anything, because most of the time I don't hear anything. But that doesn't matter, because I'm in the presence of Almighty God, and I've learned the privilege and the pleasure of just being in His presence silently.
I think you've said all I wanted you to say. That's brilliant. And I think I would just, I really encourage this, because I think there's many of us who have been Christians for many, many years. And actually, sometimes we get stuck and we don't move on. I think this is the sort of thing that can unstick some of us who've been Christians for many years. It'll teach us to pray differently, and it'll open new ways of God speaking to us. There are limited places. I think there's only about 12 places. So get your bookings in. And I know St Andrew's and All Saints have had the majority of people on this in the last few years, and lots of people in church have done it and found it really helpful. There's leaflets on the welcome desk. Do go and grab those, or speak to Mike afterwards a bit more about it. But it's really well worth doing. Thank you so much, Mike, for that. And then one more thing about prayer is that next Sunday evening, every so often we have Deeper at the Six, which doesn't take place here at St Andrew's. It takes place at All Saints, our sister church, just up the road. Next week's going to be a bit different. So instead of having a live speaker, we're going to have a video of Pete Gregg doing a talk at New Wine on prayer to kick off Lent. So I really encourage you to come to that, 6 o'clock. 5:45 coffee beforehand up at All Saints instead of the evening service down here. And the following week at the evening service, there's no service here either, because we're going to a New Wine regional celebration at All Saints Worcester. Details of that are on the notices on the mailing, and hopefully we'll have more on the mailing next week. We're struggling to find information about it, but the Six is going to be on tour on the 26th of February. Come and join us, meet in the car park at 5 o'clock, and we'll go along there and see what God does. That's the notices. Let me just organise my bits of paper. And as I do, let me pray. Lord, we come to humble ourselves now before you. And we say, would you meet us? Would you speak to us? Would you just heighten our desire to pray and help us to understand more about the mystery of prayer and what it means to be your people of prayer as the church in this place? Just take my words, just give us open ears and transform us, we pray. I haven't read that book, but I am reading this book, and it's brilliant. Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools. Don't be put off by the title. But I want to start by reading a story of when the author of this book was 13. I'm just going to read it to you. He says this. When I was 13 years old, I wasn't sure I was buying all this Jesus stuff. I was a curious kid, but I wasn't an easy sell. Look, if this story is real, I want in. But if it's fairy tale, I prefer to find out sooner than later, so I don't waste so much time singing mediocre songs and sitting through all these meetings. Several of us may well have resonated with that. That was my logic, he says. Naturally, when a mentor approached me with an experiment of sorts, it caught my attention. What do you think God would do in the lives of your unbelieving friends if you spent every day this summer walking a circle around your school in prayer for them? I have no idea, I said. Why don't you find out? I liked that idea. My older brother had just turned 16, meaning any reason to drive anywhere was a good one. Every single day that summer, he drove me to the one place I planned to avoid, school. I wore a dirt path into the thick summer grass, walking the school grounds with a folded-up student directory in my right hand. I paced around the outside of that familiar building, holding every last name in my soon-to-be eighth-grade class before the God I only half believed in. Something happened to me that summer. I fell in love with God. I fell in love with a God I wasn't sure was listening. I discovered that I didn't just need God in some ultimate sense. I liked God. I enjoyed his presence. I look forward to his company. That's all I knew for sure. On the first day back to school, I asked to speak to the principal. I walked into the office I'd narrowly avoided the previous 2 years and came right out with it. I just asked him, can I start a new extracurricular sports program, school program, one about Jesus? That's how I ended up leading a Christian outreach meeting in a fluorescent-lit, white-tiled maths classroom at Brentwood Middle School. We met, wait for this, at 6:30 a.m. on Wednesday mornings, an obviously convenient time. What 12 or 13-year-old doesn't want to explore existential questions of origin and purpose before the sun comes up? My entire strategy for hosting these meetings was simple. I'd sit in my bedroom on Tuesday evenings, open the Bible at random to a page somewhere in the middle, pick a paragraph on that page, read it with absolutely no other context or hint of biblical literacy, jot a few thoughts of my own interpretation on a sheet of loose leaf paper, and then read and explain that passage to whomever showed up the following Wednesday morning. It was a recipe for disaster, not revival. But I had one thing going for me. I prayed. I went to school an hour early on Wednesdays to lead that group. So I went to school an hour early on Tuesdays and Thursdays to keep thumbing through that now pocket-creased, heavily frayed and worn-out school directory, praying name by name for my classmates. A couple of months into these meetings, so many students were coming that we had to move from a maths classroom into the school's theatre. By the end of that school year, approximately one-third of my eighth grade class had come into relationship with Jesus in the darkness of the early morning with all the atmosphere of hospital lightning through the potentially heretical sermons of a 13-year-old skeptic. It's either completely ludicrous or utterly breathtaking to think that in the midst of all the insecurity of a 13-year-old boy, there was also the Spirit of the living God bending history in loving response to the prayed mumblings of a kid. I feel like sitting down. Because actually that says all I want to say. And I say, as we were praying just before the service there, you know, we prayed for our children and young people, and one thing I ended up praying was that we as adults wouldn't mistake them for just disciples in training. That we wouldn't restrict the ministry that God has for them now, however old they are, in their schools, amongst their friends. You know, one of the 18-year-olds was up here last Sunday, and I'll mention him later on, sharing of how he is praying for his school friends, and he's at Hanley Swan, and he pops to the church next door at lunchtimes, and he's just praying that he would have opportunities to go and talk to his friends about him going, why he's going to the church at lunchtime, and he has, and God's done amazing things. That's what we need to pray for our young people. Because prayer changes things. I wonder what your reaction to that story is. Maybe okay for him, but wouldn't anything, nothing like that would happen to me, would it? But have you ever tried that sort of commitment to prayer? Because time and time again, there are stories of that sort of thing happening whenever very normal people commit to pray. Today's reading from 2 Chronicles includes a very famous verse about prayer that many of you will know. And the context of this is Solomon has just built and dedicated the temple. And after the dedication ceremonies, which lasted several days, God says to Solomon this. He says, when I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You see, God had made a covenant, a special promise with Israel, his special people. And he told them if they kept his commands and followed his ways, then they would find rest and blessing. But if they rejected God's ways and his commands and followed after idols and other gods of the time, then actually they would face judgment, as we see here in the verse before. But God, as we heard last week, is a God of grace and is a God who is always ready to welcome us back and give us second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth chances. But it does demand a response from us. And what did they have to do in these verses? Well, first they had to humble themselves. You know, they had to start by getting down on their knees and acknowledging they were sinners, acknowledging they'd messed up, acknowledging they drifted from God. That's the place where this starts, by us humbling ourselves and recognizing that we are just sinners and God is an amazing, mighty God. We're called to humble ourselves. What then does he say? He says they had to pray and seek God's face. Just take that word seek, you know, actually that, if you imagine, what do you come to mind when you think of that word seek? Well, it's not just a sort of very casual looking for something, is it? It's really seeking, it's striving, it's going after, desperate to find that thing. And that's how he was calling them to be, to seek God's face, to look passionately at him, to look passionately for him, to seek to be devoted to following him and his ways in prayer, in worship, in scripture. And then what comes next? Well, it says, turn from their wicked ways. The word we often use is repentance, the idea of actually turning right round from going that way and looking after ourselves and seeking after our own gods and idols, to turn back and say, I'm now going to go this way. I'm going to come back to God. And God, being a gracious and merciful God, promised that if they did those things, that he would hear them. Look at what's in red. They would hear them. That he would forgive them. And that he would transform and heal their land. Not just themselves, their land, their community. I just wonder whether some of us here today need to just particularly hear those words for ourselves as individuals before we move on corporately. To be reminded again of God's grace who calls us. Maybe there are some people here who know, actually, you know that you've been seeking after selfish things or the things of idols and of other gods, of money, other religions even, just careers, whatever. That's what you've been chasing after. And you know that. You've drifted off. And actually God says, humble yourself. Acknowledge that's where you've been. Pray and seek God's face. Come back again and really seek God with the whole of your heart. Him alone. Leave those things behind. Get rid of them. Throw them away. And repent. Turn back. Come and follow my way. And I'll forgive and heal you and restore you. Maybe some of us as individuals need to hear that this morning. If that's you, talk to me afterwards. Come back. Come back to God today. But these verses are not really simply about us as individuals. It's about God bringing transformation in communities and nations as people pray and turn back to him. Some of you know that I'm off on sabbatical after Easter, and one of the places I'm going to go on sabbatical, and I've been getting excited about it this week, is I'm going to go up to the Hebrides in a camper van for a couple of days to the island of Lewis. And there in 1949 to 1952, an amazing revival happened. God did something extraordinary because two little old ladies heard from God and began to pray. You know, the Hebrides was very ungodly at the time. There was no youth in the churches and people were living totally contrary to God's ways. And these two little ladies called, here, the other two sides of the minister, Peggy and Christine Smith, they were 84 and 82. They were housebound. They couldn't get to church. Peggy was blind and doubled with arthritis, but they prayed. And there was no online worship then. And they prayed, and as they prayed, to them came this promise from Isaiah, I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. And they pleaded this day and night in prayer. And then they went to their vicar, the Reverend Mackay. And he was a godly man. He tried every strategy that he could to bring the youth into church, but nothing had happened. And those two ladies told this promise to him. And they said to their vicar boldly, and I love this, and please say this to me regularly. Once he told them of all the strategies that he tried, these two little ladies said to him, Mr. Mackay, have you tried God? Have you tried God? And they felt called between them to call the churches to pray twice a week, which they did. And the ladies committed to praying from 10 a.m. to 4 a.m. the next morning on those days. And after a few days of praying, God moved. The Spirit fell on the island. People, wherever they were drawn into churches and encountered God and were led to repentance. And particularly the young people, the whole community was transformed and drawn back to God's ways. It's a remarkable story. I've put the link of Duncan Campbell, the minister, who went over and preached, on the life group notes on the mailing. It's an hour of him telling the story himself. Please do listen to it. It is inspirational. But you might say, well, that's for them. That was 50 years ago. I finished writing this sermon just about the time a new revival started. At the moment, and I got this off the internet this morning, there's a new revival starting in a place called Asbury University in Kentucky in the States. And basically on at 10 o'clock, it's a university where there's a chapel service each morning, and on Wednesday morning, the normal 10 o'clock chapel service finished. But 30 of the students stayed on, and they stayed on to pray and continue to worship God. The reading had been evidently on Romans 12 about repentance and a call to love. And they were just felt they needed to stay and keep going. That Wednesday 10 o'clock chapel service is still going now. I was watching some of it on live stream this morning. You can watch revivals on live stream this morning. It's remarkable. You know, that theatre that they're in has been filled with over 1,500 people coming from all over America because God's doing something. Here are some words in this article. Asbury University has become the site of a revival gathering with students and staff engaging in continual worship and prayer on campus over the past few days. What began as part of a scheduled chapel service on Wednesday morning at Hughes Auditorium has since transformed into a constant impromptu gathering. After the chapel service concluded on Wednesday, roughly 30 students kept going. They've been joined by others since. And then someone else says, this is a pure act of the Holy Spirit pouring out love. Hearts are being transformed. Zach Meek-Reebs has acted as a leader throughout the Bible, and listen to this, and has reminded us periodically that this comes out of radical humility, humbling ourselves before God. My people who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, and I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their lands. You know, both those places, 1950, 1949 on the Hebrides, 2023 Asbury University. They've humbled themselves. They've sought God's face. They've repented of their sin and they're seeing revival. Prayer changes things. Prayer has power. And that's why we as a church are called to be, more than anything, a people of prayer. And I want to say the danger of a church like this is that we're full of capable people. We're full of people with many skills and many years of Christian experience, which I'm really grateful for. But the danger is, guys, that actually we then rely on ourselves. We rely on our own strength and our own capabilities and our own skills. We try to do God's work our way. And maybe we need to hear the call of those two ladies at times. Have you tried God? You know, we need to acknowledge God's greatness and power and realize that when we're brought to our knees, he can do far more than anything we can ourselves. So what does it mean for us to be a people of prayer? I want to just quickly highlight a few things. Firstly, I want to say it's about recognizing that prayer is a relationship, not a duty. you know, the guy who's written this book says this. He says, God is looking for relationship, not well-prepared speeches spoken from perfect motives. I love that. Prayer is honest conversation, however those words come out. God much prefers the rough draft of full rants and typos to the polished, edited version. We must lay before him what is in us, not what ought to be in us. And as we come to God more than anything, we need to know we come to a Heavenly Father who loves us deeply. He goes on, Pete Gregg says this. He says, your power in prayer will flow from the certainty that the one who made you likes you. He's not scowling at you. He's on your side. Unless our mission and our acts of mercy, our intercession, petition, confession, and spiritual warfare begins and ends in the knowledge of the Father's love, we will act and pray out of desperation, determining duty, instead of revelation, expectation, and joy. I love that. We pray out of knowing that God loves us. And then as we seek God's face, prayer realigns us with God and his will. And I think that leads to holiness, a call to holiness. You know, if you take a magnet and bring it towards a compass, you know, a compass like that, you know, what happens is the needle turns towards the magnet, doesn't it? You know, when we come to God in prayer, what happens is that we're aligned back in line with God's. And as we do that, we see the world with God's eyes. You know, prayer here is the act of seeing reality from God's point of view. It's like going to climb up the top of the Malvern Hills and looking down at our town. You know, what we do is we see our world, our community, our homes from a higher perspective. That's what happens when we pray. And that helps us realign our wills to God and for us to become more like Christ. And if we think of praying the Lord's Prayer, you know, what are we called to pray? We're called to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's how Jesus calls us to intercede. Praying what this guy talks about as on earth as it is in heaven prayers. I love that phrase. These are the prayers that we're particularly called to pray. And as we think of those words, your will be done, what we're doing when we're saying your will be done, we're saying, I'm not going to hold on to it anymore tightly. I'm going to release it to you, God. I'm going to let go of control and say your will be done. I'm going to surrender to God's, humbling ourselves and saying, we can't do it anymore. Actually, it's got to be you, God. And seeking his face and seeking his ways. And then we pray, your kingdom come. Make earth more like heaven. I want to ask you, what would on earth as it is in heaven prayers look like for our families? What would they look like for our workplaces? What would they look like for our communities? What would they look like for our nation? Those are the things we're called to pray for. Pray on earth as it is in heaven prayers. And then finally, it's about acknowledging the power of prayer. Prayer releases power to affect real change in a tangible world. We see that throughout the Bible, but we also see it now. I want to give you some instances where I've seen it in here, in our churches. You know, when we were shifting to work out what's our new service pattern post-COVID, we started by praying for 5 weeks, which turned into praying for 15. Up at All Saints, led by Janet Finch brilliantly. And we said, God, would you show us what that's like? I cannot believe how smoothly that process went and what unity it brought our churches because we committed it to praying. As churches, as church leaders, there are two things that are going to cause the most conflict if you do them. One is changing life groups, and two is changing service times. We came into a new pattern which God has hugely blessed. Every new service is growing significantly because we prayed and we discerned God's way. We're now starting to have 10:30 prayers at 10:30 before the service, from praying from 10 o'clock. You know, last week I wasn't here, which is even better. You know, I heard there was a real special anointing. God was doing amazing things. And I believe that's because we started praying before this service. You know, I want to give credit to some youth leaders here. Polly's one of them. Ellie Noble's another one, have committed to fast, not the whole thing, but for 40 days for our youth, to pray for them since the start of this year. You know, those of you who were here at the evening service last week heard Tom, one of our 18-year-olds, share an amazing story of how God really took him to a new level 3 weeks ago at a conference up in Manchester. Tom said this, he said, "Prayer is no longer something I feel I have to get in the rhythm of and stick to, but prayer is something that I now look forward to." I love that from one of our 18-year-olds. And I believe that has come partly from the faithfulness of Polly and Ellie fasting and praying for them. This week, some of our 18-year-olds have got together and told me that they're going to start a Bible study on a Tuesday, that they're just going to lead themselves. That's all come from them. That's what happens when we fast and pray for our young people. God's at work. Who's going to join them? Who's going to join them? One more quote from this book. Tyler Stratton says, "If we really took Jesus' invitation seriously, if we really believed in the sort of prayer that Jesus talked about, the modern church would have a hard time getting its people to do anything but pray." And I really think that's true. If we really grasped the power of prayer. I'm going to flick very quickly through this. Why don't we pray? You know, there's a whole load of things. Lack of faith, fear of silence, lives are too busy, disappointment of unanswered prayer, unconfessing, you know, all the list could go on. Maybe you resonate with some of those. I'm not going to dwell on those. I want to dwell on what prayer can do. But if that's you recognising some of those things, take that to God. Say, "God, will you remove my blockage? Will you give me confidence to pray again as you've called me to?" Maybe pray with someone else. There'll be opportunity to pray after communion. You know, I think God's calling us as churches into a new season of prayer, particularly through Lent, and we'll see where it goes. And that is particularly going to be why we're starting these. This is correct. Monday, 7:30 till 8:15. Tuesday morning, 7:30 to 8:15 on Zoom. Details on the mailing. Come and join us in prayer. You flick on for 20 minutes if that's all you can make. 5 minutes, that's fine. But let's pray like those two little old ladies did, that God would pour water on the thirsty land of our communities. Because actually that phrase, "pour water on the thirsty land," is really important to us as churches. You know, that's our logo there is about. You know, that path is a pathway to the cross, or it's a river of water coming from the cross to flood our land. It's there in our logo. And a prophetic word that was given to us in 2017, which I believe we are just beginning to see the fruit of, was this, that we were to be a new kind of well. A well of the presence of God in this community, to be the kind of community in and then through which streams of living water flow. And for you, that's us, to be confident afresh that we offer out the water of life that is better than any other water, better than you can get from any other spa or any other well, and to trust that as you as a community press into the presence of God and trust in the power of God, that through you the presence of God will leak all around you, that people will experience what the woman at the well experienced, which is a kingdom that includes the excluded, that forgives the unforgivable, that washes clean the dirty and gives life to the hungry and thirsty. That's what God's promised us. One more story. Friday, Alice and I went to Oxford to have some people do some prophetic prayer with us. People who didn't know where we were from, didn't know I was a vicar, didn't know anything about our family. They prayed and they prophesied over us for an hour. I have it recorded. Virtually everything they said was absolutely spot on. Just give you one example. They talked about, "I can see you, Alice, at the top of a big hill, a bit like the Mendips," they said. "And I can see you, Dave, at the bottom, digging and clearing out and releasing the wells." This is God's word for us. This is what God wants to do here in this place. This is what God is doing. Will we be part of it? Will we humble ourselves? Will we seek his face? Will we be a church devoted to pray that we would see the promise of God fulfilled in our communities? Will you join us in praying that God would release power and his spirit in a way we couldn't dare to imagine? We're going to sing, and then I'm going to lead us in prayer before communion. I think you can see God stirred me. I want you, my prayers, that all of us are stirred. Because God's on the move. And just for the rest of this service, I just want to pray. And I pray right now, God, would you stir us to have a heart of prayer? Would you stir us to humble ourselves, to pray and seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways? And would you come and heal and forgive and restore our lands? Would you release the wells that there will be streams of living water flowing and bringing just uncontrollable transformation and your heaven on earth in this place for the sake of your glory. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing Our Father in Heaven. We let him down, and just perhaps before we say these words, just have a moment to confess anything you need to confess. If you've been following a different way, if you've been following other gods and idols, and just know that you've gone in the wrong direction, just confess that to God. Just say it to God now, come back. knowing that he's a God of grace, a God who longs to forgive you. So together, Lord God, we have sinned against you. We've done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And just hear these words of the God who loves you, the God of grace who calls you back. May the Father of all mercies cleanse you from your sins and restore you in his image to the praise and glory of his name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Flip back to the prayer slide. I just want to invite you to stay standing as we pray. And I want to just invite you, first of all, to just recognise that what we just read, you know, the one who makes you likes you. He's not scowling at you. He's on your side. You know, come and pray now, not out of desperation and determination and duty, but pray knowing God loves you, out of revelation, expectation and joy. Just in the silence, just sit, stand, whatever, and just know God loves you. He's chosen you. He's cheering you on. And let us pray on earth as it is in heaven prayers. I want to just invite you just to clench your fists for a moment. And just first of all, think about, is there anything in your families or yourselves where actually you just long to see God come? And I just want to say, just as you look at your clenched fists, just open them as a way of saying, I surrender this to you. I'm not in control. You are God's. I'm surrendering this to you. And pray on earth as it is in heaven prayers for that situation. What does that situation look like if actually it became more like heaven? Pray that right now. I just want you to ask God to give you something for our churches or our communities. Where is God's kingdom not on earth as it is in heaven? What's God put on your heart now? And I want again you to clench your fists and then release it to God and pray on heaven as on earth prayers. What does it look like if that situation was transformed to be more like heaven? Pray that now. Pour your heart out to God. Pray for his kingdom to come. Thank you. now we turn to our nation of the United Kingdom, and perhaps our national church too, in the light of all that's happened this week. And again, you know, clench your fists, just bring all that makes you cross, that's wrong with God, but then just release it to God. Open your hands, release it to Him. And again, say, what would our nation look like? What would our church look like if it was more like heaven than earth? And pray on heaven like on earth prayers. Whatever is on your heart for the world, and for many of us it'll be Turkey and Syria this morning. Would you bring those things to God? Would you cry out to God on heaven, in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven? Would you cry out those prayers for our world? God's people of prayer, we just come to share the peace as we prepare to come round the Lord's table, to come and have that special encounter afresh with God. But first, let's share the peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. Let's share with one another a sign of the peace. And we come to just encounter Jesus. The Jesus who transforms. Jesus who just wants to meet with us and love us even more deeply today. So the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's
right to give thanks and praise. It's always right to give you thanks and praise. God, our Father, holy and strong, King forever. You made us and the whole universe and filled your world with life. You sent your Son to live among us, Jesus, Saviour, Mary's child. Betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread, and this morning we have real bread. And he gave you thanks, and he broke it to them, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. And at the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. And as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit. That this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. And with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Do sit or kneel and let's say that prayer our Saviour taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Offer our closing prayers and a blessing to you all. So may the love of the Lord Jesus draw you to himself. May the power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service. Above all, may the joy of the Lord Jesus fill your hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with every one of you and with all those you love this day and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. We turn to our closing worship in song.
Yeah. Spirit.